under the sun is vanity of vanities and grasping for the wind, something you just cannot grab and something you cannot catch. Okay, and then the second is what he ends the book with, but yet that theme runs throughout the book. And what is the second key message in the book? Fear God and keep His commandments. This is the all of man, right? So we got those two messages, and over again throughout the book, Solomon is driving those messages home. Well, the book is really four discourses. You can actually break this up different ways, but four speeches, four discourses. The first section there, the first couple of chapters, is fulfillment comes from God. All right, tonight we're going to pick up with chapter 3, and God is the one that's in control. We got to trust God, right? God will take care of everything. He is in control, and we must trust God to realize our needs to be met. And then the next section, he looks at all these inequalities that's going on in the world, and he's searching for an answer to the inequalities that's going on in life. So that's the next section he's going to talk about. And then he ends it up with just some observations, some further discourse. Basically, a lot of it is kind of like the Proverbs, right? You got these short sentences that are just nuggets of wisdom in that last section. So again, we'll reemphasize this over and over again, but this is really what is going on under the sun. And in the first section, we looked at the vanity of the cycle of life, right? What good does it do? You're born, you live, you die. Human wisdom, no matter how much he tries to gain and as much wisdom as he tries to grasp, at the end of the day, he's doing what? It's vanity of vanity and grasping for the wind. Labor. No matter how hard he works, no matter how much riches, how much wealth that he gains, at the end of the day, when he dies, what about that wealth? It's gone, right? He's going to go out the same way he comes in, with nothing. So that's the keys that goes on. And with this, we see that theme going over again. It's all vanity of vanity. So we start with probably one of the most popular passages that we have in the book of Ecclesiastes. Most people know this. There is a time, right? There's a time for everything under heaven. There's a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to harvest, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain, a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to throw away, a time to tear, a time to sow, and it's a time to speak, and a time to be silent. So there is a time and a place for everything. Everything is good within its place. Now, I want to start with a question. Do we get any say with the things that happen in our life? Do we get any say-so as to which time it is? The positive or the negative, right? You notice in every one of these, there's this contrast. There's a positive and a negative. Do we get any say? No. We might do things that might affect whether it's positive or negative, but in general, when I'm born, I have no say in that. When I die, typically I have no say in that, right? A time for war, a time for peace. You know, you and I together, we're not necessarily here. We're not causing war to break out. But there is wars that are going on all over. There is a time for war, a time for peace. But these things are happening outside of our control. So what do we as humans, what happens when things start happening outside our control? What do we start getting? Extremely nervous, extremely anxious. I can't control. I want to be able to control what happens to me. And how much this book relates back to the book of Job, right? Job's question was, all this is happening to me. His friends was telling him it's happening to him because he was what? Some sin. Something horrible is happening. What does the book of Ecclesiastes teach us about these things? Now, you may be suffering for some consequence of some sin that you created, but in general, there's also a very good chance that time and chance happens to all, right? It may just be that we're not in control of this, and it's not God standing and pulling, you know, with the puppet, saying, I think I'm going to tweak up some pain on Adam today, right? And tomorrow I'm going to give Adam some more pain, and the next day some more pain, and then I'm going to jump over and I'm going to get Jackie for a while, right? That's not what God's doing. What is it? What's happening? It's circumstances of life, right? Car accidents happen, and it causes death. People die. People wonder, why is this going on? Why is this happening? These things happen, and it's not controlled by something we can control, and it's not necessarily happening by something God is tweaking buttons and orchestrating. But he put nature in place. He put a plan in place, and he's letting the world go forward with that. And under that plan, things happen. And it is hard for us as humans, because these are both positive things and negative things. And if we were in control, it would be an extremely lopsided victory, would it not? There would be a time for all of these positive things, but there would never be a time for pain. There would never be a time for suffering. There would never be a time for agony if man was in control, right? If I was in controlling these things myself. But there is a time for the positive and the negative. When it's the time for the positive, the message of Ecclesiastes is, it's a blessing from God. Enjoy it. The works of your labor, the things you have at your hand, all these blessings you've been given, enjoy them while you have them. And if it is something negative, he will teach us over again, in the, specifically in this chapter, that it reminds us of what? Who do we need? We need God. We're not in control of what's going on. We need God. So there is a time and a place and a purpose for everything under heaven, for both positive things and the negative things that are going to be happening. And the problem for us is none of these things are things that we can control. So with this as our backstop, let's begin to look to some of his observations. This is a man that's trying to figure out what the meaning of life is. What profit is it for the workers? Well, the comment that is made here is that God put eternity in their heart, right? So here man has been created in such a way that they're looking out and longing and seeking after wisdom, the meaning of life, to understand things. But there's a problem. Can we know the ways of God? Can we know the minds of God? No, we can seek these things out, but we can seek them out. And that's what the psalmist, or what the Solomon is saying in this. He seeks them out. But we can't go to know the goings out and coming in of God. So with that being said, his observation at the end is there is nothing better than to rejoice and to do good, eat and drink and enjoy the things that you have from your labors while you're under the sun. Right? So again, everything that's going on under the sun, everything that's going on here on earth, if it's good or bad, it has nothing to do with necessarily whether I'm sinful or not sinful. And if I have wealth, is that wrong? No. But when I have wealth and after I die, what's going to happen to that wealth? It's going to go away, right? I might have all these labors and I might have worked up this great reputation. And after I die, what's going to happen? Well, it's going to go away. The next person's going to come along to take my place. So the observation he's making is, while you have these good gifts, while you have these blessings, use them, right? They're not going to go with you. Use them. Now, the rest of the Bible in the New Testament is full of what we should do with our riches. He talks about doing good. The charity we should do, the way we should love one another, the way we should be benevolent to one another. But this is just basically saying, with this question of life and death and things that's going on under the earth's sun, what should we do? Well, we should enjoy the things that we have. And these things that's going on out of our control, all of these bad things that's happening that's outside of our control, they're all happening to remind us we're not in control, but God is, and we better fear him. Right? We better live in fear, that utmost respect, that longing for him, that he is the one that's in control. Yes. Yes, I will not, so that everybody hears it, I will not go to that soapbox, because I could. There's books that's written on the generation out of Y. But and it's really not just, I see it in my generation, right? You see it in yours. I think it is getting a little bit worse in every generation, generation entitlement, that we shouldn't work. But the fact is, and we'll get there in just a minute, that we should work and enjoy what are we enjoying? The labor of our hands, right? We're not enjoying the labor of someone else's hand. We're enjoying the labors of our hands. Okay, so one of the things he looks out, and one of the things he looks out and sees is injustice and wickedness that's going on in the world around. As he looks out and he sees the injustice and the wickedness, how does it make you feel when you see injustice? You know, here's this guy that he's, the only word I know to come, you know, we see it in the sports arena a lot, right? This guy's really just nothing much more than a thug. He's always out doing these horrible things. He's always out in trouble. He's getting arrested. He's doing this. He's out of jail. And he does it again tomorrow. And what does he get for it? A couple million dollars, right? We see these injustices that are going on under the sun. Solomon is trying to get us to understand these injustices that we're seeing, are they temporary or are they permanent? These things are happening under the sun. And one of the things I want us to kind of keep in our minds, especially as we start speeding up, if I was to be able to right now go, because Job is right in this section with us, if I was to now have an opportunity to be in the presence of Job, probably in the Bible, we don't see anybody suffered much more than Job did, right? If you read the writings, he suffered more than anybody else that we think of. What if we was to have the opportunity to go to speak to him and say, hey, now, it's been a couple of thousand years. You've been in paradise. You've been in eternity for a couple of thousand years. How bad was that suffering? Right? What do you think his current perspective is going to do to that short time of suffering that he had on earth, right? I think that probably best helps us understand what Solomon is trying to get us to say, to put in perspective these injustices we're seeing. Yes, it may look like they're getting everything and then no one is being held accountable. But God will judge. He's just not going to judge now. He lets this continue to go on to, in some ways, to test us. So under the sun, you know what? It really doesn't matter. We're not that much different. Solomon draws the point, we're not that much different than beasts, animals of the field, right? We live, we breathe, we have our things, we get things, and then at the end of the day, what do? We die. And after we die, what happens to the body? It returns to dust. But there is a difference, as Solomon points out, between man and beast. After man dies, the spirit goes where? Upward, right? The spirit of the beast or the spirit of the animal goes and returns to earth, or it goes downward. So you see, there's the difference. There's the key. There is going to be this justice that's going to come, but it's not going to come under the sun. It's going to come, and I've kind of coined beyond the sun for tonight's class just simply to show the opposite of when we're talking about eternity. And in eternity, you're going to see that of, will there be injustices there? Right? Read Revelation. You know, if you want to think about it, read the book of Revelation. Spend some time thinking about heaven. At that point, will there be any injustice that looks to be good? Will there be anyone who is unjust, wicked, evil, that you look at and they're saying they're being, you know, they've got all these blessings coming their way? No. Once we get beyond the sun, once we get to eternity, that will not be present. You just will not see that. So again, trust God. And then he begins to notice the oppression of man. And this continues to grow. And when you think about oppression of man, what's the best example? I mean, here's a man that's standing there, a big, huge boot coming down, stomping the little tiny man on the picture up there. But what comes to your mind for the oppression of man? Is there any images that come to mind? What about a master-slave relationship? Right? You got a master-slave relationship. You got this huge oppressor. The master is this huge oppressor. If the slave gets out of line, the master beats the slave, right? So in this, who's the evil one? The oppressor is the evil one. Who has the power? The oppressor. So here you have the innocent, the one who is being oppressed. Not only is he being oppressed, he doesn't even have any power out of it. And Solomon notices this and he says, you know, it would be better to not even be alive than to be in that situation. And then he says for the first time here in chapter 4, and he said, repeats it several times after this, may have said it before, but I think this is the first time he says it, that even beyond, it's better to be among the dead than the living in this situation. It's better to have been a stillborn, to not ever been born at all. And first, that takes us back for a minute. But if you think about it from God's perspective, once again, from under the sun versus beyond the sun, what has the stillborn never had to experience? They've never had to experience this injustice. They've never had to experience making that decision whether or not they're going to serve God. So here is the quest, right? So, and again, with everything he's saying, the stillborn, the one that doesn't see, though it's hard for the people on earth and horribly traumatic, I can't think of anything any more traumatic than that. But for the soul of that little one, there's not much better, because that little one goes on to be with God without ever having to see the suffering, experience the suffering. Do we see his suffering and oppression today? I mean, do I need to say much more than ISIS? Right? We see oppression. We see suffering. We don't see them being stamped out and them getting the justice they deserve. But again, if we look back on it with thousands of years of perspective, I think we will. Then he begins to turn his attention to that of skills or crafts. And again, just like oppression and just like injustice, things hadn't changed in a few thousand years. Guess what? When it comes to the vanity of our work and our labor, things still haven't changed that much. Do people still today work really hard to be the best, the one that everybody looks up to, the one that, you know, that is the absolute best performer in that company? Sure they do. Why do they do it? Not everyone. Some do it just because God says, whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might. Some do it for this outward praise, right? They want everybody to look at them. They want everybody to see them. And that's kind of what he's noticing here. People get caught up in this rat race of trying to make more, be the main person, make more money so that you can make more money, so that you can make more money while leaving your family at home. While doing this and while leaving the world behind and all the things you should be doing behind while you're on this quest to be the best. What does Solomon say to that? Down closer to verse chapter 4 and closer to verse 6, it is better to enjoy a little with quietness than much that comes with consumption of ourselves. Right? This concept of constantly looking to be the best, constantly looking to be more, putting in the most hours so that you're, because you're the best one there. Have you seen people that is consumed at the end of the day? Yes, it will consume us. If we do this, it will consume us. It's better to have a bit with quietness than to have a lot with that consumption that might be going on. In this section, think of selfishness toward, you know, I'm building up, I've got all this stuff, and I'm trying to make myself better. Well, he's saying two is better than one, right? A lot of times you kind of isolate yourself when you're trying to make yourself better. And he gives these reasons why two is better than one. If two is better than one, if one falls down, there's someone there to help pick them up. If one is cold, there's one there to be with them for warmth, to help them warm up. If an adversary attacks them, one person may not be able to fend off an attacker, but two people together can fend off the attacker, right? Two is better than one. A cord bound together with three cannot be broken. A truth that we all know. This popularity that might come from it, and think of that of a king, this ruler. Yes, he may be the most popular. Yes, he has all this power. What tends to happen to that kingdom? It may not be tomorrow. It may not be the next day. But where's Babylon? Where's Rome now, right? The most powerful, the biggest, the best. Those kings were the most powerful people on earth. But kingdoms come and go, right? Vanity of vanities, grasping after the wind. Popularity is great, but yet it's going to go the way. Look for those things that are eternal, those things that go. When you go into the house to worship, go into the house of worship, listen, right? Listen. It's better to listen than to speak. There's even New Testament passages about that, right? It's better to go there and to listen to what I should do than to run my mouth, because typically when I run my mouth, what do I tend to do? I tend to get myself in trouble. In this tense, you tend to make vows for things that you can't, you know, that you have to keep, right? You speak ill vows or you do these kind of things. So when I go into the temple to worship, put the ears on to listen and somewhat leave your mouth at home. Don't speak vainly. Don't speak quickly. And we've spent a little bit of time on this, so we won't take a lot of time on this, but riches. The vanity of riches. He who loves silver will not be satisfied. We talked about this with labor, right? trying to be the best at their labor. Well, this is the one who will not be satisfied with just a little bit of silver. Must have more, must have more. At the end of the day, what does it do? It consumes us. But he's saying, trying to remind us that this is vanity of vanities that is reaching and grasping for the wind. And that's really not fair. I looked up and that clock said 20 tail, so the clock, the batteries died in that clock too. But that was a mean trick. Because I'm thinking, I'm sitting here in chapter 5 and that says 20 till. I'll just go apologize now. But anyway, so that's going on around us. We can get caught up in that. But is money bad? One of the key things that I think at the end of the day we need to make sure of, yes, to the point Al made earlier, we don't need to be enjoying somebody else's money. But yet, if we have money, or pick a different blessing and put a different blessing in there, what does God want us to do with that blessing? Maybe it's health. Maybe it is money. Maybe it's something else. But if we're given a blessing, what does God want us to do with it? Enjoy it, right? He's given that to us to enjoy. Now, we will get, and there is a, you know, once again, these are general truths. This is not trying to overwrite what the New Testament says we should do with our money as far as taking care of and being hospitable and caring for the people around us and seeing to their need. But this is more of a general step. It's not bad to have these things. And if you do have them, enjoy them. And again, enjoy them why? Well, when death happens, what good are those riches going to do me? Right? I might do something good with them. My children might can use them, and they might can live on. But at the end of the day, when I die, it's vanity, it's grasping for the wind. I'm not taking those things with them. And on the tail of this conversation about the vanity of riches and reaching out and grasping for riches is chapter 6 is this really sad situation that is painted for us here. In chapter 6, you have the picture. You know, we talk about the fact that you can be as rich as you want to be, and then death happens, and those riches are gone, right? Well, Lee and I was listening to, the family was doing some driving, and he loves the president, so he was listening to a book on Abraham Lincoln. And part of it was talking about the Civil War. Well, there may have been a person going into the Civil War, even at the close of the Civil War, that was a really rich man and had all kind of Confederate money. What happened? Well, the same thing that happened here in chapter 6. A foreigner comes in. Now, granted, it was the Battle of the North and East West. It was Civil War. But this foreigner comes in and does what? Occupies, takes over. Now, one, his money is worthless. Two, his money, his possessions, everything he had is taken away. Think about this in the battle and the fighting that goes on amongst the kings at the time Solomon is writing this, right? Well, who is the major enemies? You got the Philistines running around. You got the Egyptians. You got all of these people that's coming in. But there may be a man sitting in Jerusalem that has worked and gained great riches. And then Philistines come in and sack the city, or go to the New Testament times and Rome comes in and sacks the city. What happens to those riches? What happens to those possessions? Just like death may take them away in the blink of an eye. Circumstances. There's a time for everything. Circumstances may take them away in the blink of the eye. Look to the people that lived through the Great Depression, the conversation of the Civil War, all of the battles of this time. These things that are there can be taken away in the blink of an eye. Makes it pretty easy to see it's all vanity of vanities and grasping for the wind. So which sounds better? There's a section in chapter 7 that if I was to be thinking of this again with human wisdom, and you was to say to me, death is better than birth. If I was going to write that sentence, right? If I'm sitting here and I'm full of my earthly wisdom and I'm going to write the sentence, would I write death is better than birth or birth is better than death? Which is better, the day of my birth or the day of my death, right? From a human perspective, the way we look at things, which is better, the day of our birth. But from the perspective of vanity of vanities, all is vanity and grasping for the wind, once again, if we're ready to, for beyond the sun, right? This side of the sun versus beyond the sun. Death is better than the day of our birth. It is better to go to the house of the funeral, the house of mourning than the house of feasting. Or the party. It's better to go to the funeral than the party. It's better to go to the house of mourning than the house of feasting. Again, if I'm going to write that, when am I with human wisdom ever going to say, yeah, I'd much rather go to have a good time and to the party, to the feast, than to the funeral, right? A time of grieving. Again, why is the funeral or the house of mourning better? It's actually the main one that's pointed out here. Why is it better than the house of feasting? What's so much better about it, somebody? What does the house of mourning make us do? Think on what? A little louder. That's right. When I go to the house of mourning and I see that someone has met death, right? They have met, they've come to that place in life that they're going from this side of the sun to the other side of the sun. It's going to cause me to stop, step back, and reflect. And I really don't know a person that doesn't go to a funeral, right, and doesn't step back and reflect. Whether it causes change or not, it's a different story. But there's not many that goes to a funeral that doesn't reflect. So in that case, it is better to go because it gets us thinking beyond versus the things of the earth as vanity of vanity. The rebuke of the wise is better than the song of the fool. Again, I'd much rather have somebody sing my praise than someone point out my errors, right? But again, this Solomon is telling us that the rebuke of the wise is better than the song of the fool. Better is to be living in the present than in the past. Oh, if it wasn't just for the good old days, right? The way we had it way back then. No, it's better to be present today and living today than it was in the way back then or in the past. Wisdom is better than wealth. So all of these things that if we look at this from, and again, Solomon trying to get us to look at it from a spiritual perspective rather than a physical perspective. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, consider the work of God, for who can make straight what he has made crooked. In the days of prosperity, be joyful, but in the days of adversity, consider. Surely God has appointed the one as well as the other, so that man can find nothing that will come after him. There's a lot said in those two little verses. First, what does he mean when he says, what God has made crooked, who can make it straight? What power would he have over what God has done? Nothing, right? If God has made something one way or the other, Solomon says it over and over, if he has set it in motion and it is that way, there is nothing I can do about that. Well, if that is true, then maybe I should learn what he's saying here. In the days of prosperity, enjoy it. But in the days of adversity, what should I do? I should consider. What should I be considering? I should be considering my place as it relates to him. So, we can't know what God is going to do. So we should know our situation. And I would love to spend a lot of time in this one, but we're going to hit this one pretty quickly. This is also chapter 7. This last half is a pretty rich section. But let's just leave it at seek balance. Verses 16 and 17, do not be overly wise, righteous. Do not be overly wise. Why should you destroy yourself? Do not be overly wicked, nor be foolish. Why should you die before your time? Now, Solomon is not saying don't be wise and don't try to figure out what pleases God and try to do those things that please God. This is that concept, the same concept that we have in Matthew chapter 7, Luke 6, Romans 2. What is the concept there? Don't be what? When I say don't be pharisaical, right? Judge not that you be not judged. Don't set up some, I'm going to be overly righteous. I'm going to set up some standards that no one else could live up to, and I'm going to hold everybody accountable to those things. Don't be that way. But at the same time, don't say, oh, vanity, everything is vanity of vanities. Everything is lost. There's nothing I can do. So I'm just going to be as evil as I want to be, right? You hear many people say, well, we might as well party, right? It really doesn't matter. We might as well just enjoy our time here and party the time away. You could see the points that Solomon is making through here. Someone could draw that conclusion. but we might as just enjoy our time and do whatever we want to do while we're here under the sun. But Solomon reminds us, don't be overly righteous, don't be judgmental, don't be what the Pharisees turned into. But at the same time, don't be wicked, again, considering what is to come after. The next section. Just like, did we see injustice a few thousand years ago and today? Yes. Did we see oppression then and oppression today? Yes. Has governments changed very much in the past few thousand years? Yeah, okay, we're under a democracy, okay, so things may be better. But in general, do people still get powerful? And with power, do they still get to want more power? And with that desire for more power, do they become consumed and become evil? Yes. How different is that than a king that did whatever he wanted to do, right? So why are we confused? Why are we confused? Why are we concerned? Why are we completely demoralized when we look up and see an evil government? Should we do everything we can do to try to change that and make it better? Absolutely. But should we go put our head in the sand and the world's coming to an end because the government is evil? No, governments have been evil since there was governments, right? When every time there comes power, every time there comes wealth, and somebody wants more and more and more, people get evil in that situation. Governments become corrupt in that situation. But the point that he starts out making here is obey the government. Keep the laws of the land. Once again, that's repeated in the New Testament. But the point he's making here is why? Why should we not fight the government? Well, who is tended to be punished? The law-abiding citizen or the one that goes out and breaks the law? Yes, there's exceptions to that, but work with me here. The law-abiding citizen or the one that goes out and breaks the law? Who gets punished? There you go. The one that goes out and breaks the law, that's the one the king is going to come down on, right? Don't fight against the king. The picture that's painted here is one of the person who's going out and trying to settle this unrest and get an uprising against the king and trying to change things by force. Don't do that, right? Obey the king. Obey your rulers. Again, we're not to go along with things evil. But again, don't be shocked. Is this a lesson we need today? Yes. How many people, again, I actually want to ask you to ask this about yourself. What about the people around you? How many of us see people around us every day that almost live in a constant state of depression and almost panic attack because of the state or government and the world politics is at the moment? Right? What's going to happen to these kingdoms? In a thousand years, they're going to be gone. And somebody's going to be talking of the United States and the United Kingdom and Iraq and all of these things, just like we talk of Rome and we talk of, you know, some of these that have gone by before us. It's going to come. It's going to go. Don't get caught up in that. That's vanity. That's grasping for the wind. Put our attention beyond the sun, and it will all be okay. These kingdoms will come. These kingdoms will go. But if we fear God and keep His commandments, in a few thousand years like Job, it will seem as if it was a vapor long, long ago. Continuing with that of government. Solomon looked at the government and the judicial system of the time, and this is kind of interesting because Solomon is what? King. Who kind of would control the judicial system? You know, who would be better to make change in a judicial system than the king of that country, right? So Solomon would be in a place to make this change. But even in Solomon's place, he looks out and he sees judgment is slow. And it appears that the one who is evil just continues to win and to get more and more and more. All of this, once again, we're talking under the sun. But then he comes back and reminds us what's going to happen beyond the sun, right? Comes back again. So whether it's governments, whether it's the judgments, and he comes back to this point. And I keep putting it up there because he keeps coming back to it, right? Again, I need things repeated to me a bunch of times. I figure you do as well. But Solomon must have thought we all need a lot of things repeated because this is one of the things that runs through. Enjoy what you have. Enjoy those blessings that you have while you're under the sun because there's going to come a time that they're gone. So he's made these. And all is vanity. These things, the bad things that happen, they may be because of sin, but typically they're just happen because time and chance happens to all. So what should we do when these bad things happen? We should consider who God is, who is in control, who we are, that we're not in control, and be obedient to Him. And then when things are going well, we should enjoy that time. We should be a happy people, right? We are well blessed. If I look around the room, I see a lot of people that are very well blessed, right? We should be, in living in this country, living in this time, we should be happy people. There's a lot to be happy about. We should be enjoying those blessings, sharing those blessings. And we send this conclusion. With those things said, we hit this conclusion where he's just going to start drawing some conclusions based on what he has said to this point. Try to catch up with myself in my notes. At the end of the day, death is going to come to all. It really, at that point, it doesn't matter whether one was good on earth or bad on earth. Death is going to come. Whether, you know, they had justice or they were merciful while on earth, death is going to come. The same end is going to come to everyone. And I put the note here, I've said it a couple times already, but to the one who is faithful to God, just like the unborn child that never, you know, the unborn child was the one that was the best because they never saw all this injustice. The one who is already dead is better off because they're done seeing this injustice and not being able to do anything about it. Where we're left to see the injustice and consider it so that we can go to a place where there will be no injustice, where there will be no impropriety going on there. But while we're here on earth, it's very important. These things are happening. They may be the results of sin, but they also might very well be time and chance happens to all. There's a time for the good and the bad. And when something bad happens, use it. Make it make you consider who God is, who you are, and who's in control. The good guys don't always win under the sun, right? That's one of the things that can get us down more than anything else. And it's obviously something that Solomon thought could get you down more than anything else. The good guys don't always win under the sun. But when time comes for heaven, it will not, just read Revelations, it will not be there. It will not be present. So while you're here, enjoy your life. We've talked about enjoy the blessings that you've been given. Enjoy the wife of your youth, right? Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. You know, we're really close, so I think we're doing pretty good on time. Do you know that person that almost can't be happy because they're somehow I'm sinning if I'm happy? I think we've all seen, we've been around those people. We need to make sure we get away from that concept. That's not what's being taught here. We've been given these blessings. We should enjoy them. We should share them, but we should enjoy them. All of these things that's going on the earth is going to end in the grave. Folly, a man may have a great reputation. You let somebody like a political candidate has a great reputation running for president. What happens to the smallest mistake he makes? It's going to get more news, right? Ben Carson does something, it's going to get more news than all of Donald Trump's all put together. Why? Because here's this person who's had a really good reputation, right? And let him mess up. A little folly will bring you down. But just small folly in a small amount. Well, there we see the things that are being drawn here. The man who digs a ditch for another, what happens? He falls into it, right? He sets the snare for somebody else. He falls into the snare. The cost of the many words. How many people have ran their mouth and had to pay the price for the cost of many words? So watch folly. Watch your mouth. Be benevolent. Help other people so that when time comes, you may be the one that needs help. Be diligent. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your heart. Don't wait to act until you're old enough, right? You're old and have time. Because when you're old and have time, you may be sick and unable to do these things, right? We find ourselves putting things off to the end, and then we get to when we're putting it off to, then we don't have the help we had, and we should have done it when we were younger, right? So be diligent. Whatever your hands finds to do, do it with all your might. Rejoice. Rejoice in the days of your youth, but also remember in the day of your youth. Don't wait, right? Don't wait till you're older. Remember the Lord in a day of your youth. All right. So let us hear the conclusion of all these things, right? You can quote it, but let's go ahead and read it. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the man's all. For God will bring every work under judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. So when bad happens to us, consider God. When good happens, enjoy it. Thank you for your time.